very difficult for me to speak in English, but I'm going to do the best for be understood with the assistance of our blessed Lord. Surely I come quickly. We all can remember the apostles' sadness, hopelessness, disappointment, and discouragement when their master was put under arrest and was put to trial and crucified, killed and buried. They were filled with dark discouragement, sadness, and fear when the risen Lord returned to them. The pain of separation lasted 3 days only. Apostle John tells us that Jesus had said beforehand all that would happen. John 16:19-22. Ye inquire among yourself of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembered no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. The same thing is true with us today. Jesus is far away in his human nature, and we sigh, may the Lord let it be so, desiring to be with him, especially when various tests, temptations, afflictions, and trials, and the swift advance of apostasy overwhelm us, but at last he will come again, and we shall have a glorious joy. Regarding this, certainty is total, because God has spoken, and everything he has said has been accomplished. As an example, he said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, John 3:36. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it's not exactly that what has happened to us who have heartily believed. 1. Jesus will come again. It is certain that Jesus will come again. Yes, so said himself, his apostles, and the angels support it. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. John 14:3-18. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Revelation 1:7. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come, in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Acts 1:11. Let nobody here be as those of our contemporaries regarding whom Apostle Peter says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. 2 Peter 3:3-4. And so look, but if that servant may say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken. Luke 12:45. Note carefully that we can intellectually accept the Lord's second coming theology and speak about it with certainty, but not accept it in our heart. B. How will he come? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. The trumpet will sound, and the heaven will open wide, and we see our smiling Savior waiting for us. Then it will happen what Matthew 24:30 says, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will not send somebody to take to us to heaven, nor will he open heaven for us to arrive there by the action of his omnipotence. No, he himself will come personally for us. When he calls us to be his, he wants us to give ourselves to him, all our being. Thus he says, my son, give me thy heart. Proverbs 23:26. So he gives himself to us, not coldly or impersonally, but warmly, intimately. In September 1998, my wife and I went to Singapore. I have written Dr. Casey Quek, ICCC First Vice President, regarding our arrival, and he answered he would wait for us. When we had passed through customs at the airport, through a window we saw Dr. Quek waving his arms in a warm, glad welcome. He did send his car with his driver. He was there personally to take us to a very comfortable room where all had been prepared for us to feel welcomed with all needed or wanted. Undoubtedly, our Lord will make us much more comfortable in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. John 14:2. See, when will it be? Shortly, soon, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, James 5:8. Much more now, 2,000 years after. We are 2,000 years nearer to the Lord's coming. Are our eyes put in heaven, waiting our Lord to appear at any moment? He says it in Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. And he repeats it three times in the last chapter of the Bible. It is the last sentence of Christ in the Bible. Surely I come quickly. 22:20. So when we close our Bible in our ears, it rings persistently. Surely I come quickly. No matter what opinion differences may exist regarding the particulars of the second coming, we have to announce to the world what John has said. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. This is our hope, looking at the blessed hope. Titus 2:13. Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. 1 Timothy 1:1. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again and a lively hope. 1 Peter 1:3. The signs of the times announce clearly the proximity of the Lord's coming. When it is evening, ye say, it will fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. Matthew 16:2-3. So since all these things are happening, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Luke 21:28. If for much time we have been sleeping and sleepy in the Lord's affairs, now is not the time to continue the same way. Consequences. A. For the unbeliever, they will stay in the world, and will pass the worst never seen before in the planet Earth. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world or to this time. No ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there should be sure no flesh be saved. Matthew 24:21-22. So serious will be that tribulation. This suffering, so intense will be, according to Apostle Paul's information in 2 Thessalonians 2:6-7, And now ye know what beholdeth, will he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And to what is recorded in Revelation 12:12, woe to inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil is come unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. My friend, who has not received yet Jesus Christ in your heart, if you don't believe now, when all is good for you, it is far improbable you will believe after. Don't deceive yourself, saying that you will see that all is announced in the Bible will be accomplishing. May be that day your heart will not respond to you, and although you will want to receive Christ, you will not be able. You are a sinner since you were born, the same as all human beings. But if you own your sins and you acknowledge them and repent with sincere sorrow, you are offending so well, guilty without cause to your loving Lord of and Savior, and believe with all your heart that he shed his blood for your sins, and that he willfully suffered the punishment you merited for your sins, and receive him in your heart as your personal Savior, as your substitute who died for you on the cross, you will be saved freely without works, only by faith. So God will give you the righteousness of Christ and will pronounce you righteous in his court of justice. B. For Christians who are not ready to work nor do anything for their Savior, who don't want to obey, evangelize, nor use the means of grace, by prayer, worship, the defense of faith, and so on, in order to grow in their spiritual life, for the neglectful, the lukewarm, worldly, prideful, and with little or no fraternal love, some of these will discover too late that they really didn't believe the gospel, but were confident in their own works, their faith, their righteousness, their emotions, and will be hopelessly lost. So then, because thou art workman, lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Revelation 3:16. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew 7:22-23. Too late they will realize they had a false confidence, that they were dependent on their works and not in Christ, and will be completely lost and without hope. Other believers in this class will be before the Lord ashamed, and may be with bitter tears. Only in that moment will they realize that they lost their lives, that what Christ made for us does not admit lack of commitment, identification with the Lord and his people. The prideful who believes that they were great and important here, and were so mean, so insignificant, they will go in the last place, behind those they despised for her humility. How many of them will escape from fire only with what they are using? For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, good, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for they shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, or what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built, thereupon he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, ye so as fire. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. See, for the faithful in Christ, let us remember our Lord's definition of his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. John 15:14. The friend friends of Jesus Christ are active, militant in the faith, in close fellowship with the Lord. They are humble, full of faith, love, and hope in the second coming of the Lord. For them, His second coming will be an indescribable joy. It will mean the meeting again with those who died in the Lord. It will be to leave behind the nightmare of a world of sin and sins that may be with ourselves yet. Although we are not servants of sin, because we can always have the victory in the Lord's name. Due to all this, our gladness will be perfect, overflowing, and nobody nor anything will disturb us anymore. What actions must we take in anticipation of the imminent return of the Lord? A. Not to neglect our congregation, nor forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more the more as ye see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. B. To love His coming, so that the return of our Lord will be the greatest joy. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love also His appearing. 2 Timothy 4:8. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, Revelation 22:20, and see to revise and rectify any wrong relationship with our Lord. And every man that hath his hope in Him purifies himself, even as He is pure. 1 John 3:3. And to make our hope sounder, living practically in continuous anticipation, that is to say, expressed in our action and behavior of His coming. In other words, since His coming is imminent and near, what about my life? If I don't love His coming, nor do I desire it fervently, maybe it is caused by a feeble and wrong relationship with my Savior. Conclusion. So soon our Lord will be here again. He will come with unspeakable riches of joy and will put us in praise, amazed by the contrast between what we were and what we shall be then. He will come with brilliant glory. He will produce happy meetings, Christian fellowship without ending nor interruption. He will bring eternal rest in the glorious place where the sun never sets down. Our earthly work will be finished, our victory won, all by faith. No more weakness, tribulation, nor anguish. Every wound will be healed. No more painful separations. Distress and spirit will change into heavenly joy. Our ignorance will stay behind, and it will be replaced with wisdom and knowledge. Briefly, all imperfections of the earth will be changed into heavenly and eternal perfections. This may be much nearer than many imagine. For yet a little while, and He that shall come, and will not tarry. Hebrews 10:37. Therefore, no doubt, we are called to live a Christian life better than that we are living, holier, more prayerful, self-sacrificing, with more love heartily, spiritually, and earthly content for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Why not start today to be more like Him? God bless you.